The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 469. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? I'm OBS right now.
Yes. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Manjoma.
Powell does what Nintend won't.
Oh, shit. We will talk about that. But first, we got to publicly wish Mr. Brett Murdoch a happy birthday. Woo! Hey, there we go. We got the real stuff. It
took me a while.
Welcome to senility, man.
Thanks. I've been feeling it creeping on anyway, so, you know, it is what it is.
What are these video games? What am I? You don't even know where you are right now, you know?
Who's a Tony?
Yeah, I don't even know sometimes, you know. What's going on in the chat? People wish you happy birthday, Brett. It's very cool. So, you know, I just got to apologize at the top of the show. We don't really have much to talk about. Nothing happened this week. It's boring.
Uh-oh.
You know?
I mean,
nothing happened at all. Like, literally at all. Obviously.
Yeah,
there's
gaming.
There's nothing. There's nothing. No like games that seem like other games or anything.
Yeah,
like
no layoffs, none of that stuff, you know? No, but obviously we're being facetious here. This week was fucking crazy, you know? Now, okay, I came in, yes, this morning. Actually, all week I've been like, all right, Pal World, that's going to be the main topic, right? And then the bomb drops. So I'm like, okay, that's Pal World is now the second main topic. Jesus, man. We got to talk about Microsoft, man, has laid off 1,900 Xbox employees. Got the axe, man. And obviously, that's been the talk of the town today, you know. But here's the thing. There's a lot of angles we could take from this. But the interesting thing was Phil Spencer himself, like, said, you know, when they were going to acquire Activision Blizzard, said no layoffs will happen. We all knew that was bullshit. Look what happened now, you know? So, I'll give my thoughts a little bit later, but what do you guys think about this insanity? And by the way, this is just part of a larger thing where, again, January 25th, 25 days in, and there's already been 5,900 layoffs in the gaming industry.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, what was last year? What did it add up to? Like 260,000?
Yeah, something like that. So we're gonna beat that number. Chris, I'm gonna get your thoughts. Earlier this week, there was a gaming analyst that said 2024 will be a year of pain for game developers. That motherfucker wasn't joking, was he? You know?
No.
Holy shit!
I think he's right. I think he's right.
Yeah. So, Chris, what's your take on this, man?
I think entertainment in general is having a huge issue.
Yeah.
And then. I mean, is layoffs in animation? Is layoffs happening in live action television? And video games and tech in general? Tech is having a huge bleed out. The roadmap, Google, forget pour one out for Stadia. You got to pour one out for like a huge portion of Google. They laid out that there would be something like 30,000 job cuts in Google over the course of the year.
Yeah.
Right. They started 2,000. Immediately this month from their search algorithm team alone, like 2,000 people, right, just on search, which is their, right, you would think that's their bread and butter.
Yeah.
And then with a planned additional 30,000, right? And they've already laid off a whole bunch of people last year, so it's nuts. And like you said, we knew there was going to be overlap in people. There's no way you can acquire such a big company and not have – redundancy and not have, just in general, like you cut down your workforce because you just have this overlap where you have jobs are no longer required. So obviously him saying that was bullshit, but like it's a lot of people still, and I'm sure there's going to be more restructuring. That's what they always call it. They'll be like, oh, there's restructuring. So we'll see. And Microsoft in general is having layoffs, so it's just part of it.
And what's interesting about Microsoft, just earlier this year, they, like, what was it? They were valued at $3 trillion and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, woo! Like, for a while, they were beating Apple, you know? So it's crazy. Real quick, I want to read what Ace Ali said. No layoffs will occur due to this acquisition. 3 months later, we have identified areas of overlap and have decided to lay off 1,900 employees. By the way, we've reached $3 trillion in market cap. Yeah. But that's what it is. There is a lot of overlap now, you know, so redundancies, if you will.
Yeah. Go ahead, there's Carlos. So it's across a lot of Xbox studios, but what I've been hearing from, you know, all the people reporting on it is that the majority is Activision Blizzard. Brutal. So there's definitely a lot of redundancy that is being taken off, but there's also some studios that are developing games that are just cut off. I mean, we heard about that one title that was being worked on that just got canceled. I forgot the name, but it was being worked on, and that whole team was wiped out.
Blitz says, where's Satya cutting his paycheck to key employees? That motherfucker ain't doing that, man. You know? Yeah, no, it's Odyssey. That's the name of the game, Carlos.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was going to happen. But imagine if you were like, you know, an Activision employee cheering the Activision, like, yeah, man, I'm going to make so much money now, part Xbox. Then you get the axe, you know? That shit is brutal, man. And then fucking, he didn't get fired, but he stepped down. Mike Ibarra, he left Blizzard, you know?
Well, but here's the thing. I don't.
Okay, Chris.
I would just say this. Like, there's, at the level he's at, there's subtler ways to remove someone from a company.
Yeah.
And he may have seen that, or they may have told him,
yes,
hey, we're going to wind down your teams and your position, right? So what we need you to do is that, and they'll give him like kind of a window seat or humiliating work to do. It's probably like, that's what I'm speculating. I don't know this for sure, but I think like he probably had transition teamwork and all this stuff. He's like, nah, fuck this. You know what? I'm just going to get out of here.
Yeah.
He's not going to get his year on bonus. He's not going to get whatever he gets at his VP or whatever executive level he's at. That's all done with the acquisition. So he might as well just leave.
Yeah, that's true. Kishak is asking, do you guys think these layoffs are part of Bobby Kotick's golden parachute? You got to get that money from somewhere. I don't think so. I think it's just, they were just redundancies and, yeah, you know.
Yeah. His parachute's tremendous. You'd have to lay off the whole everyone to cover part of his parachute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not, this is a drop in the bucket compared to what he got leaving.
Yeah, that's true. And Phil Spencer came, he wrote a whole big memo. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but he says that Microsoft will, here's the quote, will provide full support for those who are impacted during the transition, including severance benefits, informed by local employee laws. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that works out for people that got laid off. But still, man, fucking brutal. It's just so wild, isn't it? It's like you post like record profits are valued at $3 trillion, then you lay off a bunch of people. And then ironically, but not unsurprisingly, when news came out that they laid off a bunch of people, the stock went up.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. And the reason why most of these news is happening within, you know, right now in the next couple of months, because it's going to keep on going, is because they want to lower down their costs so they can look more profitable when the fiscal year ends. So this is going to keep on happening. And like Chris mentioned, Google has a plan for a whole bunch of layoffs. And by the way, I do want to mention the whole thing with Mike Ibarra was him just seeing the tea leaves and them telling them what was going to happen. Because I mentioned this months ago when it happened with what's his name? Major Nelson. I'm like, a dude like that does not just leave his job. He's a lifer, but he was told that he was gonna get the axe, so they just did the whole, you know, respectable thing where it's like, I'll leave on my own volition and call it that, and it's just happening to a whole bunch of people now.
Yeah,
it's part of the cycle. Right now, they're trying to look like they're being mindful, you know, cutting costs after. But granted, in this situation, it's not a smokescreen like a lot of other companies. It literally is that they literally expanded their company immensely. Now it's like getting rid of all of the things, but like 19,000 people.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. 1900.
1900. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll read some stuff here. Kishak goes, imagine getting your unemployment notice from Twitter, not management. Yeah, that happens. Well, you learn about it from the media. You don't learn about it from, you know, the actual bosses till after the fact, you know? Here's another one Ace Ali brings up. They axed an entire department dedicated to bringing physical games to retail stores, and Blizzard customer support, which was amongst the highest rated in all of gaming, to consolidate to the Microsoft outsourced call center. Fuck. Oh, shit.
That's part of the redundancies aspect where, you know, they already have all these things in Xbox. It's like, why do we need another one of these?
Yeah.
Which freaking sucks.
Yeah, and apparently a bunch of these employees reach out to Jason Schreier, like if he could do anything, you know?
No, Jason Schreier's just going to make some money off of it.
He's going to make a story out of it. That's what he's going to do.
And that's how it works. You know? Jason Schreier's not going to do anything about it, and no amount of him writing articles is going to change that. Business is business.
Yep. Will BlizzCon be axed later? Who knows, man?
I mean, here's the thing. There's a good chance it could be, or it could be folded into something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why do a BlizzCon when you can just have it be part of, you know, not E3 anymore, obviously, but whatever the Summer Game Fest thing is going to be.
Well, Tony,
yeah.
Why do a BlizzCon when you can do the Xbox and Bethesda and Activision Blizzard showcase?
Yep. That's probably going to happen. They already got rid of the Bethesda part, you know? Remember, like, the last showcase was just the Xbox showcase. So I think this year they'll just do the Xbox Blizzard showcase. no, but that's what I could see that happening. And people haven't been happy with BlizzCon in general in the last couple of years. So, you know,
don't you all got phones?
Yeah, don't you got phones? Man. So, yeah, this shit is. I want to go back to that whole thing. It's like, yeah, they axed an entire department that was like about retail games. No surprise there, you know?
Yeah.
No surprise there at all, because, you know, it's all about the Xbox Game Pass, you know?
Yeah, and to be honest, they already have a division within Microsoft that is devoted to physical games. So why have a redundancy like that? They're literally cutting those positions because they already have something that does it. But the question is, like, now that this internal division inside of Microsoft is going to be responsible for a whole new patch of games, like, you would think that they would probably need more people in that section of the company in order to be able to handle it. Or are they expecting the same whatever amount of people to be able to handle that stuff? You know, this is going for, you know, setting up localization, all that other sort of stuff, you know, like, sitting all of that different part of those different parts of it. So, I mean, granted, Microsoft is a much bigger studio than, you know, Activision Blizzard, a bigger company than Activision Blizzard. But yeah, how is that going to be handled?
Yeah, I don't know. But for the retail stuff, I guess they just don't care, you know?
No, it's not that you don't care. It's they already have a division at Microsoft that handles physical stuff. It's like there's portions of 20th Century Fox that Disney started to handle, you know?
Yeah, but I don't, I'm saying they don't see it as a priority. They already have it. It's like, okay, we're good. We don't need more people for that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it really is. But it's unfortunate that it's happening. But again, like, you know, especially on opposite side of when you know, Phil says, no, there's nothing going to happen, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, bullshit. You know it was going to happen. And I'm sure every single person behind the scenes, they better not have fooled themselves to think that, oh, hey, you know, if Phil says it's going to be fine, then we'll be fine. I'm like, no, you just, I've been at the cornerstone of being let go, right? You know, because of the company is downsizing. And you can feel it in the air. You know there's an axe coming. You just don't know when.
Yeah.
So make sure you pack your boxes and have everything ready so you can just walk out of the door with all your shit. Because, yeah, as soon as that thing happened, probably some of those guys should have just said, you know, started transporting all their stuff home because they know something's coming.
Yeah. And then, like I said, overall, again, 25 days into the year, And 5,900 jobs in the game industry have been lost. Lots of layoffs.
Doesn't it suck how like the end of the fiscal year is so close to all the holidays? Yeah. You either get it right at Thanksgiving or like Christmas, or you get it after.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to Pal World later on. But apparently, Kishak says there was a deleted tweet from the Pal World creator, basically saying "F you to Microsoft." But he deleted the tweet. So, and
oh, by the way, there's yeah. Speaking of these news, there what's his name, Matt Booty? Did you guys see what he posted?
No,
what did
he say?
Or what do you? He said, "This is a quote. This is a difficult process, but it is one. But this is one that will best enable Blizzard and Xbox to deliver ambitious games for our players on more platforms and in more places than ever before."
Okay,
that's tone deaf as hell. It's like, yo, just you know. Acknowledge that you guys dropped thousands of people and just want me like it's this sound this reads like we had to drop these dudes so we can be better.
Crazy. I want to briefly go over some of the other gaming studios or entities that have had layoffs because it's interesting. So the first one that happened was Arkiak. I never heard of them, but they're like a VR company. So they let off a bunch of people. Bosa Studios, they laid off 19. Unity Software laid off almost as many as Microsoft, 1,800. Holy yeah, shit.
Unity's been on a roll, man.
Unity! Fuck! They cut that, so that's 25% of its staff. Twitch, 500 people. We talked about that before. Playtika, never heard of them. 300 to 400 people. Discord, we talked about this too, 170 people. Lost Boys Interactive, what the hell do they make? Aftermath, I never heard of it. 125 people. Fun Selector, 3 people. PTW, Pull to Win, never heard of them. Thunderful, let me go to studios I've actually heard of. NetSpeak Games, Winmo Games. Yeah, a lot of these are like smaller studios. Here's notable one, Riot Games, 530 people, man. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. People Can Fly. Yeah, I remember we talked. No, we didn't talk about that. That happened yesterday. Oh shit! Is it People Can Fly? That dude. What's the name of that brother's game? Is that them? Or am I thinking about somebody else?
No,
No.
Okay, I'm getting
confused. Yeah, People Can Fly is Bulletstorm people.
Oh, Bulletstorm. Okay.
And Outriders, I think.
Yeah, Outriders. Yeah. And then obviously Microsoft. Little Red Dog games. Yeah, so a lot of, and it's going to keep happening, man. Like when I saw that Microsoft, I had that scene of, you know, Mr. T from Rocky Payne, you know, that's going to be a year of that. But again, not unexpected after a merger like that, you know. What's going on, Andre? Anybody have any more thoughts on this? Brian, what's your take on this?
There's nothing that can be said. It's just unfortunate. But as you said, we all kind of knew that this is going to happen because this is usually what does happen. You know, like there's a merger and then people get laid off. So it's kind of like the other bad side of mergers where people's jobs are at risk. But it is going to be awful. I just wonder, again, my main concern is if people at Microsoft are not safe, then how does that hold for all other studios, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're in Google, you're not safe either, you know? So what does that say?
Too. If you're not safe at Microsoft and Google, then what? You're only safe at Apple at that point? Because that's like the other big place, really, at this point.
Yeah, we'll see about Apple, you know? I haven't heard about any mass layoffs yet, but, you know, the fiscal year isn't here yet. Shit is crazy. Actually, hey, Brett, do you have anything you want to add to the Microsoft thing? I don't know if he's around. All right. Anyway. There he is. Yeah. Anything you want to add to the Microsoft layoff thing?
This is what happens with publicly traded companies. And it's kind of one of the reasons I feel like they're inherently evil.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And again, you know, the stock went up as soon as the layoffs were announced. So that tells you everything right there. All right, man, let's get into it. The story that I thought was going to be the main story of the show. Got to talk about Pal World, man. talk about Power. So, Brian, you could pull this up for me. How many copies has it sold? Last time I checked, it was 7 million.
Jesus Christ.
In how many days? Because last I heard was 8 million in...
Yeah, it hasn't been out a week.
Last I heard was 8 million in 6 days.
Yeah.
Which, in perspective, that more than any Sony exclusive has done in the same time span.
Damn! Oh,
so all those times, like Sony said, oh, God of War did X many in X time frame. Like, this Power World has come out and just ran it over. And keep note that these are only the numbers on Steam. We don't have numbers for Xbox and Game Pass because Xbox and Game Pass.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's aside from game. Like, I don't know. Like, it kind of feels like, you know how every time a game is on Game Pass, we're like, what are the metrics for its success? This. Yeah. This is the definition.
Sales. You can't dispute that. You know,
well, sales, but like, it's also like the number. Like, I just want to like point this out. It has more high concurrent player count than like Elden Ring did, than anything other than Counter-Strike. And if you've ever looked at the Steam sales, like Steam charts, like you just don't beat Counter-Strike. So it has just dwarfed it. It's, I don't know. Again, kind of like Baldur's Gate. I'm like, I want to be like called it, but like not nearly to this. No, nobody could have seen it. Nobody could have known, but fuck, man.
Yeah.
Right now it is it's actually beating Counter-Strike as the highest concurrent players. It has 1.1 million and Counter-Strike is second with 450,000.
Damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think wasn't it and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Power World is the second most concurrent ever behind PUBG or something like that. I think I saw something.
Yeah, so something like that. In terms of peak today, Jesus. Power World, peak today is just under 2 million peak concurrent players. And Counter-Strike is just under 960,000.
Wow.
So this is a big fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
And by the way, it's a huge game. By the way, I did... It's doing pretty decent for an indie game. The one thing that I read is one of the interesting thing is like what I think close to a third of the people who are playing this game are from China.
Oh shit! Maybe
like
that's
30 or like or maybe like 30% or something like that.
Yeah,
like U.S. and China are like the top two markets, but like we never see China numbers be this big for like these type of games.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it is an online sort of multiplayer type of title, right?
Yes.
Sometimes.
No, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's on brand for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just find it interesting. Like, it's a lot of people from a lot of different places are playing this game, and it's fucking massive, man. Everyone's talking about it. It's even, you know. Like Brian mentioned, it's doing better. It's doing better than any Sony first party exclusive did at the same time. We don't have the numbers for Horizon Forbidden West, to be fair. We don't have those numbers. But,
yeah. And then obviously, you know, got to talk about all the drama surrounding it. Cause obviously, as soon as this game dropped, even before that, it was like, this shit's a Pokemon ripoff, right? And it got to the point where, not unsurprising, the developers were getting death threats because, you know, Nintendo fans and the Nintendo fans, you know.
Oh, for Nintendo fans, it was Salt World.
Yeah, Salt World.
Ape shit.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then I guess they must have had a writing campaign to Pokemon Company and they had to put out a statement.
It got to the point where the Pokemon Company had to issue a statement. They weren't saying anything. But obviously, I'm calling them tattletales. You know, look what they're doing. You know, so I want to read what Pokemon Company had to say. We have received many inquiries regarding another company's game released in January 2024. They don't say it, but you know what.
By the way, they cannot. They will not acknowledge them.
Yeah. So he goes, we have not granted any permission for the use of Pokemon intellectual property or assets in that game. We intend to investigate and take appropriate measures to address any acts that infringe on intellectual property rights related to the Pokemon. We will continue to cherish and nurture each and every Pokemon in its world and work to bring the world together through Pokemon in the future. Oh, that was a nice little statement there. So yeah, so it got to the point where these fucking fans were sending like emails or letters. I wouldn't be surprised. Like handwritten letters. I'm taking the Pokemon. You know? Fucking sending letters, harassing, obviously death threats, harassing developers.
Why you saying Pokemon?
You know? But here's the fucking insane. But here's the crazy thing, right? Like, you know, if you look at the character designs, yeah, it's pretty obviously inspired by Pokemon. But the thing is, I don't know if any lawsuit would hold water because the gameplay is not like Pokemon at all, you know? It's because, you know, people are saying this is a Pokemon ripoff. No, it's not. It's not even an RPG, you know? Yeah. So what do we, you know? So the
designs look like other stuff or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah, but there's a gray area between, like, our designs were influenced, right? And they can prove, they might be able to prove that it was influenced by multiple things, including Pokemon. So it'd be hard for Nintendo to say, hey, you copied this design, right?
Yeah.
And even, I saw on Twitter also some of the drama, and they were putting, like, side-by-sides. I'm like, they don't look quite the same. And here, like, the golden rule is, like, 25% different. If you can just get enough changes to a design, it's in a gray area where you might not catch anything, trademark violation or anything. I don't know how Japan is. I don't know how their laws work, but they might not have a case because, like Tony said, the gameplay is so totally different.
Yeah.
Pokemon and Power World, nothing alike in terms of, like, story or gameplay or anything like that. It's just on your pal animal character designs versus Pokemon. And it's like, yeah, but nobody complains when there's like Digimon and Monster Rancher and 800 other things that look like Pokemon. Nobody complained. Monster Hunter has Palkos and Palmutes that you could say, like, oh, that looks like a Pokemon, right? But it's different enough, and the gameplay is completely different that there's no case, right? These, I don't know why the Nintendo fanboys feel very threatened by this game.
Yeah, very interesting. You know? No, but I've also seen like articles saying, oh, you know, this game should make Pokemon sweat. Why? It's a different game. It's not the same at all. I'm talking about the gameplay. Like our designs are fucking, you know, I think it's pretty blatant in my opinion, but the gameplay is completely different. So I don't see how this is going to make or going to force Nintendo to do better. Do better what? Make Pokemon with guns now? Like, it's stupid, you know? And I'm saying this as someone who doesn't give a fuck about Pokemon. I'm like, the attacks seem like, obviously they're stupid just because you shouldn't be harassing people. But I don't think a lot of these, like, oh, Nintendo should be worried. Like, this is a reason why Nintendo needs to come to PC. Look how much better they would do. Yes, I agree with that, but not because of this game, you know? But go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, it's not gonna change Nintendo's MO because last I checked, Pokemon is still selling crazy numbers.
Yeah.
But there is a subset of the Nintendo community or the Pokemon fan base, a subset of the Pokemon, to be more specific, the Pokemon fan base community, which I used to be part of, that is clamoring about, you know, hey, you know, don't you think it's time for Pokemon to do something new? You know, like, because they've been doing the same thing for decades. And obviously it hasn't changed anything in terms of popularity and sales. It's actually been more popular. But there is, you know, I'm not the only one these days, you know, telling Nintendo, it's like, yo, man, do something, you know, try something new. The Steam formula just gets stale. At least for me, it got stale like a decade ago.
Yeah, well, people have been asking for a Pokemon MMO and all this stuff. Like, we have live battles where the guy waiting for you on the path and challenges you to a battle is a real person. People have been asking for that since they got rid of the global trading center and all that shit. But they'll never do it. I don't think they'll ever do it. Power World is not going to show them. Nintendo's just set in their ways. The only way that they will ever adopt a shift in Pokemon is if the game stops selling well. Right? That's the only way. And they like you said, they're still selling well. So they're just going to do the same thing. They'll just pick two more colors, make a whole new game, make new starters, make 500 new Pokemon that you can't pronounce. It's like, hey, the fingernail Pokemon, what? We're out of ideas. It's a fingernail, right? It's got eyeballs. And you're going to fight with it. Yeah, you know, and they'll just do that until it just doesn't sell.
It's like, they'll get new colors. Oh, it's Pokemon Magenta.
Yeah, here we go. You know, Ace Ali, he brings up a good point. I want to read what he says. He goes, a game that's been in development for 5 years has had public trailers and content for months, if not years, showing multiple character models. If Nintendo was going to take action, they would have done so long before now. Yeah. They would, because you know how litigious Nintendo is.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I mean, look at they've gone after Nyko for making similar controllers to them immediately. I mean, they don't wait. And the same complaint, like Pokemon fans were yelling and screaming about Genshin Impact.
Genshin Impact, yep. It was
the Breath of the Wild things, but. Genshin, they actually do have a legitimate slap on Genshin Impact because they were legitimately stealing animations from other games.
Nintendo,
there was a Nier Automata stuff, not the style.
But they weren't complaining about that. They were saying it was
Zelda. Yeah, specifically a ripoff from Breath of the Wild. It wasn't that.
But the real legitimate thing that they have was that they were legitimately stealing animations from other games.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I think that's a good point. Blitz says Nintendo, when people release Pokemon mods for Pal World, Nintendo shut that shit down, you know? So, but they're not doing anything against the game because, like Chris said, and I said, the gameplay is not the same at all, you know?
Yeah, they're not doing a turn-based RPG like Pokemon. So
yeah, it's a survival shooter.
The designs may very much have a feeling of those games, but at the same time, there are a lot of things that are very similar to other things. You know, there's a company right now that's called Action Force, right? It's literally G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
You know, and Action Force was the name of G.I. Joe when it was in England at one point. You know, before they united the franchise, so they're not G.I. Joe is not coming at them as long as they are not doing things that aren't exactly the same as G.I. Joe. They're not making Snake Eyes, or they're not making any of those other characters.
It's got to be different enough, you know. And let's be real, like Nintendo fans right now, they're not reasonable. It's like you could ask questions. It's like, huh, this design looks interesting. I'd like to know where you got that. That's fine. Why don't you, try to get an interview or do a Q&A with the lead designer from Pocket Pair, whatever the company's, the development company is, instead of being like, motherfucker, I went to Pokemon the movie 3 when I was 12 with my father and you copied the designs, I'll kill you. That's not a reasonable response to a game similar to the game you like.
Yeah, and then sending letters, you know, like you're threatening the developers that are making the game, then you're bothering another developer with this shit, you know? It's like, what are we doing here? You know, and then, you know, you've seen the long threads of people going, oh, look at this Pokemon design, look at this design, you know, doing like the circle and shit, like, look at this, they took this piece there. It's like, yo, we're really spending a lot of time with this shit, aren't we? We're spending a lot of time looking for evidence. You know?
Oh, Tony, it gets even better. So that thread that you're talking about was actually really kind of funny. Because there were some designs that you could argue that they were inspired based on color schemes and how the characters look. But then again, there were some that were blatantly just kind of reaching and made no sense. Like, one of the ones that really gets me is the one with the pink cat, or the pink-purple cat. So they compared that to the Galarian Meowth, because it had the same yellow eyes and then the same, like, type smile. And I was like, okay, that's a very far-reaching thing, because one's on four legs, one's on two legs, different colors in the body type and how the body type's shaped. I mean, if you did, like, the classical shadow comparison, they would be two completely different characters. And then I thought about it even further, and I was like, that cat looks like the Cheshire Cat. So I looked it up, and then it looks very similar to the Alice in Wonderland animated Cheshire Cat.
Yeah.
As in the eyes, even the color scheme as well. It's like, this is clearly the Cheshire Cat. I'm like, come on, people. Like, if you're going to reach for something, then at least make it something that's...
Well, you think these kids complaining know what the Cheshire Cat is? They think probably Nintendo not. Invented cats.
Right, exactly.
Oh, one of the other ones is there was a character that they were comparing to, I really don't remember the name of this, to Lucario, that's it. And the character that they were comparing to was a character, and I know Tony and others will laugh when they hear this, they were comparing Lucario in Pokemon to a character in Power World called Anubis.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see where this is going.
Anubis.
So, yeah.
The character's called Anubis. Can you try and guess what it looks like?
Oh, let me guess. It looks like Anubis.
Exactly. I was like, come on, people. Like, the name tells you. Like, it's like saying, oh, yeah, this character is called Imhotep or something. You know? Or this, I don't know. It's just, it was really bad. And then there was another thread, which I don't know if it's the same or whatnot, which was even worse. So some guy went through and said, okay, let's actually compare the 3D models of Power World with 3D models of Pokemon, and then to prove that they were, like stolen assets, you know? And I was like, okay, let's actually have a read through and see. So I was going through, and then, again, there were lots of assets and, like, 3D models that looked, like, roughly the same size and same make, and I was like, okay, this is interesting, you know? And then a couple of days later, it turns out the guy actually lied about the whole thing, and he had to scale models up and down to make them fit because because he wasn't a fan of how, well, he wanted to highlight the, like, animal rights something of the pals. And I was like, you can't make this up. Like, like, when I went into this year, I never thought this would be a thing where people are scaling up models to prove stolen assets because of animal rights. Like,
fucking PETA's idiots, man.
Like, if I had a dartboard and those three things popped up, I'd be like, nah, that sounds too stupid as a plot point. Let's try again. So
nobody will believe that.
And again, this is where people are at. Again, as Tony said, like, people are spending their time doing this. It's like, don't you have games to play? You know? I don't know.
No, apparently they don't have a life to live, you know?
You not have grass?
No, they don't. Real quick, Jay Shep goes, do you see an angle for this situation to help boost Nintendo's next Pokemon game sales? They're not related, and Nintendo doesn't need help with Pokemon sales at all. They don't need help. You know, they're fine. By the way, real quick, this is not related to gaming, but it's still kind of, it's related to what you were talking about, Brian. I read this from a thread. I'm only going to read the first tweet. A quarter of American adults haven't read a book, even audiobook, in the last year. Adults who read more than 10 books a year has declined by about half in the last 40 years. The decline of students with advanced reading skills, meaning the ability to engage with the text, understand and process the author's ideas, catch references, etc., is pushing teachers to lower reading standards, which just creates a cycle. And I also heard that basically, overall, Americans' reading level is at fifth grade level. So that goes back to what you were talking about before, that fucking ignorance. Like, if you were just, think about it like this, even 40 years ago, if somebody goes Anubis, most people would know that's fucking Egyptian god, right? Now it's like, oh, so there's a character from a fucking whatever. Oh, it's a Stargate character or something, you know? It's like, the ignorance, man. Anyway, yeah, this whole situation is fucking crazy. Well, there's a couple of things here I want to read. Chancleta Mangu, what is going on, brother?
What up?
Big ups on the award show appearance. Thank you. I'll talk about that later. Pokemon doesn't have the all ending rights for animals combined with elements. Yep. You know? Obviously, Modders got fucked up. I will say, by the way, Flint, what's going on, man? I will say that they are plagiarizing Pokemon, so But I will say that they are plagiarizing Pokemon, but so many companies do this and wouldn't hold water legally either. Again, I think it's just the designs. It's very obviously Pokemon inspired, but again, the gameplay is not even the same, you know? So I don't, Nintendo would have done something. This game is not, it didn't just come out of nowhere. It's not Hi-Fi Rush. People have known about this game for years. Nintendo would have done something, especially how litigious they are, you know? But I do find it funny that people are just nitpicking. Oh, there's this thing. Oh, but if you take this part of a wing and you twist it, it's almost exactly the same. They're ripping it off, you know?
Meanwhile, I just captured a human in a Pokeball and nobody's got shit to say about that.
Oh, man.
And you can enslave them. Oh.
Right? Yeah, it's...
But let's talk about that. Let's talk about why the game is popular. Because, you know, me being the eternal cynic that I am, my first instinct is to go, oh, it's popular because of the controversy. But obviously that's bullshit because if the game sucked, nobody would be playing it. So what is it about this game that's so captivating? You finally started playing it. So give us your thoughts.
I mean, it's the game that Pokemon honestly should have been if it had been developing at all over the last decade and instead of like sitting on its laurels. Like, I'm one of those people that I directly equate the success of Pal World to the failure of Game Freak to listen to their audience and fulfill a niche. Like, this is 100%. They didn't make it despite how many people yelled. Somebody else made it, and now they're losing out on all this money. And, you know, Chris is right. Like, Nintendo will probably not care as long as they are making money, but they should be sitting up and noticing how much money they're not making.
But didn't the last Pokemon game do very, very well?
Yeah, but not this well. Not like immediately flouncing the Steam charts.
Well, because Nintendo's not on Steam, so obviously that's not going to happen.
I mean, I guess that's wrong. I mean, granted, the last Pokemon game did sell gangbusters, but like, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who sees, I'm not the only one who sees it this way, but like, yeah, you guys, these are all people who would love to have
been. By the way, Scarlet sold 10 million in 3 days, so a lot faster than this.
Okay, we'll see. I still think that this is the game a lot of, the Pokemon game a lot of people have wanted for years. Like, this is the
even
game
though
that,
the gameplay is way, way different. It's not even an RPG.
You know, but here's the thing. Like, what do you mean it's not an RPG?
It's not an RPG. Pokemon, I don't know how to... Yeah, it is. It is an RPG. It's a turn-based RPG.
I mean, I see. Like, I don't know if anybody really wants Pokemon to be turned. Like, that's one of those things where I definitely am on
board. 10
million
people, obviously, in 3 days suggests otherwise, man. And the game sold 23 million copies, by the way, the last Pokemon game.
You know, I was one of those, right? Like, I bought it, and, like, I'd still, like, I would have liked... I didn't buy that one. I bought the one previous to that. But, like, still, like, I'd bought Pokemon games before. It doesn't mean I haven't wanted it to kind of be more like this. Or, like, I don't understand why Pokemon is still locked in turn-based. It, among all RPGs, does not need to be. Of all RPGs... Pokemon, like, there's like three attacks each Pokemon has, so like it, I don't know. I just think that this is, like I said, this is the Pokemon, if you ask me why this game is doing so well, it's because this is the Pokemon game that when you sat around with your friends, you're like, oh man, you know what a Pokemon game should be? It should be this, that, and the other thing, and this thing, and this and that. And that's a lot of what this is. I don't think anybody thought to ask for, like, survival base building kind of thing, but it works.
Yeah.
Well, the survival base building stuff is like a complete Brett thing. So it's like,
yeah, I think that's why.
The cherry on top.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's one reason. Like, honestly, one of the reasons that the big selling point for this is like, I like the idea of, and I've been saying for like a better part of maybe two decades, like, look, I don't understand like why a Pokemon trainer just sits there and just lets their Pokemon just like, face tank the whole battle, like, you're not going to get in there, you're not going to help any, like, what happens when Pokemon attack humans? The humans just kind of, like, sit there and take that shit? Are they able to fight back? Like, how exactly does this work? And I think Pokemon does its own cool thing, but I think involving the trainer in battle is a cool twist that I've wanted to see for a long time. I wanted to be able to see Pokemon in the overworld for a long time. I wanted to be able to see people and kind of battle them, just like randomly, like, hey, see that guy? Fuck that guy. And battle them. I think it has a lot of elements that a lot of, like, whether or not you like survival games, I think there's some cool stuff here, but ultimately this is a survival game with a Pokemon twist, not the other way around.
Yeah. And Brian, obviously you've been playing it from the jump. What do you, any new thoughts on it?
It's just, as Brett says, like, these are things that, like, the Pokemon guys really wanted, because I've been a Pokemon fan since OG Yellow, so back on Game Boy Color, which, if people even know what that is, I don't know. So I've been like, okay, this idea of Pokemon is a cool idea, you know, it makes sense, you know, but it, ever since I had Pikachu out and following me, I was like, oh, cool, but it makes more sense if Pokemon were actually out in the overworld. So I started slowly seeing that in the Pokemon games, but they really never got there. And then suddenly Pokemon Legends Arceus came out, and I was like, this actually is what I wanted, you know? Like, you can actually go in the overworld, you can see the Pokemon, you can catch them, you can fight them. You know, it makes sense. And then, as Brett just added now, the idea of what happens if the Pokemon can attack you, but then that brings up the idea, what if you can attack them at the same time, you know? So where's that idea? And Power World gives you that, and that is what I've wanted. Granted, the survival and baseball and stuff aside is what other people have wanted, but somehow they made it work. And I've seen people make some really cool designs in Power World, like people have making castles. You know, it's just been just fascinating to see what other people can actually build. And then you have, like, the resource management side, where you're trying to decide, okay, who does what job, how do you maximize your resources, maximize your people, maximize your time and effort. And those guys are also jumping in. So I think it's one of those rare cases where you have lots of different ideas that all do really well by themselves, but then they come together. It may not work together as such, but because it works well enough, people like it.
Yeah, Brett, you're being called out in the chat.
Okay, what's up?
So you're saying that this is the Pokemon game that you wanted, you know, you're basically wanting these kind of big sweeping changes, yet you were upset at people who wanted Bethesda games to change. So why is it okay for Bethesda games to remain the same, but Pokemon games need to change?
These are the I thought I said, like, these are the things that I wanted to see. Like, I don't think that you need to, like, change the mainline franchise, other than if RPGs are going turn or if there are very few RPGs and almost none of them, like, you and I have had this discussion about Final Fantasy, right? Like, about, like, yeah, how, you know, turn-based is just being phased out. Like, if anything, any turn-based should be phased out, in my opinion, it's Pokemon. But again, like, I'm not coming here trying to kick the door down, ruin everybody's party. I was just like, cool, it's just not for me. And I went off and I did my own thing. And then somebody came along and made a game that had all those things, and I bought it. I'm not trying to, like, change your Pokemon club or anything like that, but I am saying that I think the success of this game shows that there has been a market starved for a Pokemon game that features kind of current gen stuff. And I, you know, the success of the game, I think, kind of proves that. Like, it is what it is, man. So, like, no, you keep your Pokemon game, do whatever you want. Like, I just feel like this is the Pokemon game I wanted. And the same to you. Like, if you're like, look, Avowed is the Bethesda game I wanted, then, like, cool, go play Avowed. Help that be one of the best-selling games in fucking recent Steam history. Like, cool, do it. Go out, enjoy games. Have fun.
I got a question for Brian.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Brian, so let's say you're not a big fan of survival and base building and all that stuff. Do you still feel like there's a niche for people like that to play this game and enjoy it?
Yes, because I'm one of those people. Like, again, as Tony knows, anytime that game says, oh, survival stuff, I clock out right there with him. Mm-hmm. And in this game, I was actually initially dissuaded when I first heard that, oh, this game has survival stuff and base building. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I don't have to. But then I remembered that in Fallout 4, they also had the same thing, where there was survival stuff and, well, sorry, base building stuff, But then I was like, I didn't really interact with the base building. I just kind of did the thing and walked away. So I said to myself, okay, can I do something similar in Power World where I set stuff up and walk away? And yeah, mostly. It seems like you can go as in-depth as you would like. And the game doesn't matter. Well, I say it doesn't matter. It doesn't like force you to go down. Obviously, if you really go down like to the base building and the resource management side, you get a lot more out of it because you don't have to go through and mine resource nodes and all sorts. But at the same time, if you really want to, just spend your time exploring, catching Pokemon, mining resources. I mean, even the game's dungeons, they have resources in them. So it's not just, oh yeah, you go in the dungeon, defeat the boss. It's like, okay, you go in the dungeon, you find the chests, do some mining, get some resources, and then defeat the boss. So it's kind of like mixes everything at the same time.
Interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
Carlos, I've thought about is that you thinking about playing this thing?
Well, yeah, like I always found it interesting, even when the trailers first showed up for this game, and when I heard survival, when everyone was started talking about it, and they're talking about the survival aspect, that was the main focus on the, other than the fact that it looks like Pokemon, was the whole survival thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's a turnoff. I'm not a big fan of survival games or base building games. I hate it that, remember, you guys know, freaking Metal Gear Solid 5, I rage quit that game after the whole, my base was getting freaking raided every time. I'm like, all right, I'm in freaking Metal Gear 4. So yeah, like that kind of stuff really turns me off. I mean, even in Fallout 4, I played Fallout 4, and that whole stuff with building your bases is kind of, for me, is just not something that I was into. But, you know, if you're able to play this game in, you know, without doing a lot of that stuff, you know, just keep it at a minimal and enjoy the rest of what the game has to offer, then, you know, might give it a shot. If it's on Game Pass, you know.
Uh-oh.
Gotta get that, gonna get that CD keys, a 3-month trial.
But yeah, no, Brian, I give you mad props for doing that, but I still won't check that shit out. Like, nope. I'm vehemently against survival games. Actually, like, base building is more appealing to me than survival. I'd rather do that boring shit than play a survival game, you know? And then obviously the whatever the reverse cherry on top, you know, like, you know how like cherry on top means something good? For me, just make it a reverse of that. It's the art style. Like, this looks fucking stupid, you know? It's fucking dumb. So definitely not for me. And I'm also averse to what I call Twitter games. You know what I'm talking about. You know what kind of game I'm talking about. Never had a good experience with any of those. So I'm like, yeah, this looks like another one of those Twitter games. So I'm good. I didn't like fucking Hades. I didn't like that bullshit. What's the name of that
fucking game? Vampire.
We played Carlos fucking
Animal game. Animal Game.
It was like, yeah, it was like you're furries or some shit. And you're like, it's like a TV show, some Japanese obstacle course show. The fuck was that? Fall Guys.
Fall Guys. Yeah.
I didn't like there that trash. So definitely not going to play this. So, but I'm glad people are enjoying it. You know, I'm glad people are enjoying it. So that's good. But again, stop harassing developers, please. Please stop harassing developers.
Yeah.
You know,
also
go back to playing your motherfucking Pokemon game. Leave people alone. You know, go touch some grass. Maybe touch some pussy too while you're at it. You know. Anyway,
I have a question. Why is it that this is an early access game at the moment, right?
Oh shit! Yes, it is. It is.
Yes, it is.
So we still, you know, we still got a ways to go. I wonder how long it's going to stay in this state until it's like the full fledged release comes out.
Hold on, this called my attention. Jay Shep, he was replying to something Ace Ali said. Survive is a visual novel tactical RPG. I try to hate it. Yeah, you visual novel, that's another one. It's like, you toss that shit at me. Nope. No thanks. Fuck that shit. Tactical RPG is cool, though. I like tactical RPGs, but visual novels, fuck that shit. Never heard of, what is Survive? That vaguely sounds familiar. Kishak goes, Tony, those guys can't read. Expecting them to stop harassing people is tomorrow. Yeah, you're right. You're right, bro. You're right. You're right. Those guys, they can't rub two brain cells together. You know, they don't even have one. But still try it. You might like it. I guess you're talking about somebody else. No, I know for a fact I won't like a fucking survival game. I tried plenty, don't like them. It's fucking even. I even tried that fucking Conan game. It's survival. I'm like, no. I'm like, I like the graphics. I like the Conan, but the survival shit's nah. I can't do. You know. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about the PAL world? Actually, Manny, what are your thoughts on PAL world? What do you think about this whole situation? You know, with the plagiarism neither and all here the, nor the design. Well, I want to get your thoughts as an artist. You know, like, well, what do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, the thing about it, there are plenty of things inside of the world, this world, that sort of, you know, jump on the same sort of feel. You know, whether that be obvious or not so obvious. And I definitely think that this game is trying to catch that, to catch with giant quotes with that same very sort of feel from that world, but sort of taking it into a different level. Because it not only, that game not only like sort of feels like, it feels like multiple Nintendo titles. It's not only just the design of Pokemon. The world is somewhat like Breath of the Wild world, except, I feel like that one would be the more damning one than the Pokemon thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, you know, like there's, it's to be honest, where does this game come from? Where's the developer from?
Is this Japan. Korea? Oh, Japan. Okay. Some reason I thought it was Korea.
Okay, so Japan, I mean, whatever. Japan. So like there are a lot of games that are like they're doing everything that you know, like a bunch of things that other games are doing. Like what when we watched maybe the PlayStation 1 or one of those things, like the game reveal shows, there was this one game that literally had a bunch of different gameplay aspects from a bunch of different games, and it even had Spider-Man swinging.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know?
Yeah, this is interesting. I know what you're talking about, too. J-Step says, the PALs are AI-generated. Is that the extent of the AI or the similarities to Pokemon on purpose? I mean, if it's AI-generated, it could have just been scraping the internet, just put all this shit together, you know?
I mean, it could, yeah, if they're using...
Okay, AI, can you step in really quickly?
Go ahead, Brian.
Firstly, Manny, the game that you're thinking of is Zoneless Zen Zero, which is ironically made by the same people that made Genshin Impact. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, which Genshin Impact is purely guilty of ripping off other people's gameplay aspects. So
I'm not surprised. And the AI generator thing, it's kind of like a weird rumor. Well, I say weird rumor. It's like a Chinese whispers type situation, because the developer has voiced.
By the way, Brian, I have to stop you. I just learned what Chinese whispers are. That for really? Americans, I heard it in context. I was like, because, you know, again, I work with British people, Chinese whispers. I'm like, are you talking about a game of telephone? And yeah, so Chinese whispers is a game of telephone. Anyway, just had to clarify that for the Americans. They'd be like, Chinese whispers? Fuck you talking about? Because I was like, that's what I'm like, Chinese whispers? You mean game of telephone? Anyway, go on, Brian.
All right. So the dev himself has voiced that he does like the idea of generative AI and how that works. So that's been a thing. Also, there was a previous game that I don't know if it's him or his studio. People have said both and either or. But they have him or his studio have been in the realm of making a game or making some sort of app that does do something with generative AI in the past. So it seems like this has weirdly carried over into PAL World. I've not been able to see anything that people have said conclusively that, yeah, it is generative designs and whatnot. So it's kind of just been like a weird thing where it's like, oh yeah, he said this about AI, ergo... Designs are similar, he said this about AI, designs are similar-esque, ergo you could say it's powered by AI, but I've not seen anything that's conclusively said or proven that it is, so I just have to get out.
Thank you for that, because we don't want to, you know, throw any aspersions out there, so it's just a rumor, I guess Brian, yeah, like you said, you know, game of telephone, things are just lost in there. You know, but it would be like a convenient excuse, right? Like, oh, that's why it looks like Pokemon. The AI was trained on that, but that's not confirmed, so we can't throw that at developers. You know,
Well, there's an easy way to check that out. If you look at the credits and you see that there's no names inside of the artist section, then you know what happened.
I believe it was in a Discord post where the director mentioned that he was actually trying to find someone that has experience doing art, and he found them in a convenience store just working there, which, again, I have no idea how true that could be, if that's a thing, but then again, it's the world we live in. May just be that someone also, that is good as art is in those types of places. So
I would also be to say that the Japanese are very much like, there's obviously Japanese people that are very much against it, but I think a lot of Japanese people are very into the idea of it, but they don't seem to be seeing the negative sides of it. There's quite a bit of Japanese artists that have been messing with AI as of late, you know, posting stuff, but you know, it's a little bit different.
There was a comment in here that I wanted to comment on, but I think I lost it. I got into a conversation with Blitz about Chinese burn. I was like, we call that Indian burn here. You know, when you like go like that to somebody's hand, like, and you create like a burn.
Well, it's literally called Chinese burn somewhere else. That's interesting.
He was surprised that we don't use Chinese whisper. It's like, nope. Well, you know.
All right. So, all right, let's do another one. So, Blitz, what do you call Indian style? Setting Indian style. All right. We'll leave that in the comments.
You know. Damn it. There was a comment I wanted to.
Was about the Nordog dev that's how to open his big mouth.
No, it was about. It's still about Power World, you know?
Oh, no. The guy was commenting about Power World.
Oh, this is what it was. Blitz said this. He says, if it wasn't for the Pokemon drama, the game might have come and gone like a fart in the wind. I think I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I agree. I think, like, if this game had a completely different art style, nobody would care about it. It would just come and go, you know?
No, I think that's the point. That's the point there. It's definitely going and picking up that air of thing. So, again, it's like, to be honest, it's like, you know, being two movies about meteors, you know, Armageddon or Deep Impact, you know?
Still or the volcano somewhat movies, the same thing. You know, remember that?
Yeah, or the two volcano movies, you know, Dante's Inferno, Dante's Peak or Volcano, you know? I feel like or if it's something like where you have certain elements that sort of feel like other things to sort of catch that little bit of air.
I definitely think that
if they look like actual, like they look like maybe a little more generic, you know, the monsters, like, you know, it would probably be a different, it definitely wouldn't catch the people that they're trying to catch.
Yeah, I agree with that. J-Shep, yeah, we talked about how like Americans and Chinese are the biggest, you know, they make up the majority of the people playing this game. We talked about that earlier. If it was called Small World with Disney Sousa Barry Birdman.
Nah, you can't call it Small World. You could possibly call it Little Universe, right? And yeah. Then, you know, then you could possibly get away with it.
Yeah, you missed it. It's all good, bro. It's funny. Yeah, but I agree with if this game just looked like a generic game or even looked like Fortnite, nobody would care. You know? It'd just be fart in the wind, that is an expression we have here in the state. All right, anything else you guys want to say about the PAL worlds?
Did you hear about the Nordog dev that opened his big mouth?
Oh god, what happened now?
So he decides to state that he believes that there's something fishy about how the game was made.
Uh-oh.
He has no evidence to back it up. He just says that it's his dev intuition.
I didn't know that was a thing. Okay, learn something new.
Yeah.
Developer intuition, okay.
And then some other dev from I don't know where else commented saying, yeah, there's something definitely fishy going on. And then they went on this big tirade together, and then suddenly they all just blocked and muted their accounts, which is kind of weird. Sorry, they protected their accounts all of a sudden, which is kind of weird. So I'm just like, why are you saying stuff like this when you, again, you have no proof. You're saying that it just seems that they did it, and it's, I don't know if it was too good for them or they were surprised at how well things worked or something. But they seem to be taken back by either the success or how it's made, stuff like that. And it seemed like they were attributing that to some sort of malice behind the scenes, which they don't know, but they feel is happening.
Yeah, that was what was weird, Jay Shep. He said he felt that something weird was going on, that he had his developer intuition. That's pretty fucking weird. weird, you know?
I mean, like if there was something weird going
on. My developer senses tell me.
Yeah, like if there's something weird going on, you'd probably be able to look at, like, you know, like if you could, you know, anybody can look at the code and see what's going on in there. So if they want to look at it, then look at it. But yeah, don't just put out nebulous terms like that and start saying, oh, hey, yeah, this is weird. This is not like the abandoned situation where literally that whole situation was utterly sus from the beginning.
Yeah. Sounds like developers getting upset at BG3. Oh, shit. Yeah, right? Remember with that? I mean, they got salty at Baldur's Gate 3. They got salty at Elden Ring. Like, is this a thing now? Developers getting salty at other games that are more successful? That's pretty fucking petty.
It's an interesting thing because it's like a lot of AAA developers getting kind of weird with certain things, which I don't understand why they believe that their type of game is the answer. Everything has its time. Everything has its, you know, audience. And if something is exciting people, then why not? But the thing is, it's like, obviously I'm thinking also they're probably also afraid that they might be judged because of what you know judged because their thing doesn't do what the other thing is doing. But the problem is their thing doesn't need to do what the other thing is doing. The other guy has much more of an uphill battle to fight than the AAA studio, you know.
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's like I think developer it's just like intuition. It's just everybody, you know, there's an old saying, you know, it's called different strokes for different folks, right? You know, people may not like the world of Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate does not interest me at all as a player, but people are genuinely having fun with this game. So what's the problem? Is it because they're not buying your Horizon Zero Dawn? You know, or, you know, not giving you the numbers that you think that you deserve. There is nothing out there that you deserve. You can spend millions and millions of hours and make an utter piece of garbage and not even fucking know it. You know, yeah. Well, what are we looking at? What are we looking at right now? Disney and Warner Brothers are literally shitting out garbage movies. Things that they thought that you could go, you would see because of their reputation, and not genuinely trying to put out something that works and is good.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about Pal World? I guess it's going to be the game for a while. I wonder how long the popularity is going to last before, like, the novelty wears off.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's just like anything. The popularity will last as long as they continue to keep updating it. You know, they can just as easily shit the bed on this one. It's still an early access game. And there, you know, there's still aspects of it that aren't probably not finished. So,
yeah,
they could fuck it up. Just like the guys at PUBG fucked it up. You people are barely talking about that piece of garbage, aren't they? So, yeah. Again, remains to be seen.
Yeah. Oh, Rich, I thought you were playing a certain game, which I cannot talk about. He says the next big game's Flop Stars. Oh, man. Uh-oh. Yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah, yeah. Because this game is not on PlayStation. Some of the guys in the chat were talking about that. But Sony doesn't normally do early access. Sometimes they do.
They don't do early access games. So my guess is that, you know, I mean, Shuhei Yoshida did retweet something like that. He obviously sees that people have a demand for this game. So, yeah. You know, what if maybe they don't do an early access thing, but maybe they could pay a little bit of money to get it to the point where it can be a completed game, you know?
Yeah. All right. And the last thing I want to talk about here, speaking about Sony. So the Sony CEO, his name is Kenichiro Yoshida, made some interesting statements, which if you look deeper into it, they're not as radical as they seem. And I'm actually, in about 2 hours, I wrote an editorial about this. It's going to go live on Tom's Guide. Basically, the whole crux is that he says that PlayStation's gaming future will be on PC, mobile, and cloud. So this is what he says is, it will be ubiquitous. Wherever there's computing, users will be able to play their favorite games seamlessly. Why PlayStation will remain our core products. We will expand on our gaming experiences to PC, mobile, and cloud. Obviously, you know, people went crazy over that. You know, a lot of fanboys, we don't want to give our PlayStation games away. But the thing is, like, with the exception of mobile, we're already seeing these steps. There's already a bunch of PlayStation games on PC. And with PS Plus Premium, you could, you know, stream games onto your PC. You know, stream, it's not locally. You know, PS3 games or whatever is on that tier. So the steps are already there, but Sony just needs to kind of combine it all better. You know what I mean? It's not like Xbox. Like, Xbox, if you buy a game on one platform, you have it across everything.
Yeah, know? it's like utterly automatic. Like, as soon as you, and like playing, like, you know, like, let's say you're playing a game on one PC, and then it automatically downloads all of your saves.
Yeah,
you know, and that save is automatically available on your thing. You don't need to go through the stupid cloud save bullshit like you do at Sony.
Yeah, so it's
like, already there.
And the thing is, we've been talking about this for many years now. We're saying Sony have already had these pieces in place. They've had the cloud, you know, they've been doing some PC stuff, mobile, you know, even though Sony did say they're going to have some mobile titles, but it's like, you know, whatever. But none of this is surprising. You know, none of that's surprising.
Just, Sony already has mobile titles too. They've been putting out mobile titles for years, you know. People don't like to think about those dumb endless runner games, but those exist.
Yeah, or so PlayStation. They first have that idea. Talking about, but you're right. They've done, you know, all of this stuff.
They've it's done just all
not,
of these
it's
things.
It's just not cohesive, you know?
No, it doesn't feel it because they're separated into different divisions, right? So it's not part of the PlayStation branding. It's part of the, you know, it's all these splintered
like,
cells.
Sony Online, I think it was called, like, remember they had like...
Nice.
Yeah. Good stuff there. Blitz, that sounds like they'll just improve their implementation with improvements to make it all more streamlined. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. And I think that's a good thing, you know, because, like, for example, like, again, if I buy a game on Xbox, I could play it on PC. I'm good, right? PlayStation, if I bought Spider-Man 2, when that shit comes to PC, I'll have to buy the game again, you know? So it's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I mean,
they do cross saves also, though, which is good. They now do cross saves on some of their games, which is good. But it's like you got to buy the game again, you know?
Yeah, it's a little. But then again, like, their situation is not the same situation as Microsoft.
No, it's a different situation. Yeah,
it's a different situation. When you get a copy of Hi-Fi Rush, it's not really the Steam version. It's whatever, you know, Xbox on PC version that you're getting.
Yeah.
So the Sony PlayStation does not have an online store that sells you PC games.
No.
Microsoft actually does.
Yes, they do. Xbox Game Pass for PC is called for PC for a reason, you know? And you're right, the Windows Store, they have games you could specifically buy for PC. They have up, or it's like a store. Jay Shep shows, I don't think single player games will be day and date. No, I remember Sony's own statements have said they don't want to do that because they feel it'll devalue the games on the console because that's still their primary thing, you know?
Which I do believe.
Yeah.
I do think that because they are making specific sales off of those games, their games are still making way more money per capita than Microsoft's games. This is even proven in general. This is part of the reason why the movie industry has been sort of turning, essentially licensing out all their movies again and pulling it off their services, because they realize they can make, they're actually making more money with their licensing fee, you know, charging Netflix a licensing fee than actually just having it on their actual service. So just keep it there for a limited time and then license it out later. For Sony, it's like they are still making gangbusters despite everything going toward digital. People are still paying that $60-$70 to get those first party titles on the PlayStation. If they were to offer that on their free service day and date, obviously yes, a lot of people would probably go toward one of those tiers, but we would not be making nearly as much money off of those games if they were just on their streaming service day and date.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's what Sony's been saying. Blitz says, it would be nice if at the very least, if you own Spider-Man on PlayStation 5. You get the PC version at a heavily discounted price. Yeah, that I think that'd be a good middle ground. At least give us that, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's so many different things that they can make a lot of this stuff attractive. Like, okay, let's say for the sake of conversation, Sony has records that what games that you've bought and what games that you've played on your console. You keep a record of it. They know what it.
Yeah, they know.
Why can't they get if they had the PlayStation PC store or whatever the hell you want to call it, right? That it as soon as they see that you have Spider-Man on PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 6, let's just say for conversation. Oh, we'll just give you a pretty good discount on that, and all your saves will go right over, so you can play it on the PC version.
Yeah, Jay Shep, what canceled Sony acquisition news? I looked through the Discord. I didn't see it in there, so I must have skipped it. So let me know what it is. I'll talk about it, even though I have no idea what you're talking about. Kishak goes, as of right now, Sony is one of the few movie companies that doesn't have their own streaming service. Yeah, because unless you're Netflix, those things don't make money. Look at fucking Disney Plus. That thing's hemorrhaging money. You know,
so Sony Pictures makes way more money licensing their content to Amazon, Netflix, and all the other streaming and Disney Plus. They make way more money licensing it out to them than they would actually doing a specific streaming service.
Yeah, they'd lose money.
That's what Warner Brothers is doing right now. Even though it seems to people like they're cutting Swiss cheese holes into HBO Max or whatever Max, whatever Max. They want to call it right now. It's going to probably make them more money by licensing it all to the other services rather than locking it fully down on their service. But what they could do is, again, like a lot of different services, they'll have a exclusive, like, okay, you get, you know, let's say this is, you know, I'll say for the kind of conversation, Tenet just came out, right? Tenet will be an exclusive for X amount of months, and then eventually they'll move it all over to thing. Like Aquaman right now. Aquaman 2 is not on Netflix. Aquaman 1 is.
Yeah. Sony stopped a merger with an Indian media company. Okay, is that related to PlayStation? Because remember, you know, this is still a gaming podcast. We're not talking about, like for example, if something big happens to Microsoft, we're not going to talk about it if it's not related to the Xbox. We're not going to talk about Sony stuff if it's not related to gaming, you know? So unless if it is related to PlayStation, obviously we'll talk about it. But if it's just Sony, like stopping a merger with India, if it's just a Sony company doing something, that's not really related to gaming, you know? That's like us talking about the Sony movies or something, you know what I mean? Okay, it's not related. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's what it felt like. That was my journalist intuition telling me that it wasn't related to gaming.
I can't believe this journalist intuition.
Yeah, it just it wasn't that. It was just like, hold on, guys. Like, remember, we're not just covering anything that Sony does. That's crazy, you know. But
if it is gaming, let's talk about them cameras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's talk about the Bravias, you know.
On my TV,
good gaming TVs though too, you know. All right, man. I think we're pretty much done here. But again, those two stories pretty much took everything. Hold on, GZDR says Tony, the Sony thing is related because the Indian merger was $10 billion. They stopped it to pivot toward a gaming company acquisition. Okay, cool. Hey, look, that's me. That's what I want to talk about. So I want to give a shout out to the New York Game Awards. That I was on. Yay. That's my second time being a presenter. I presented Best Remake of the Year. It was good stuff. It was a good turnout. Last year, it was only like half the theaters, SVA Theater in New York. And, you know, people are still like kind of weary about COVID. We still had to wear the fucking mask and shit. This year, like, because when I got there early because I'm a presenter, right? But, you know, somebody took a picture of the crowd. The crowd went around the fucking block, you know, which is crazy. It was packed, man. So it was good, you know. It was good. Being at that type of show, it just reminds me that, yes, Twitter is not a representation of gamers and gaming, you know. Good vibes. Got to meet a bunch of, you know, people that I kind of see half of them normally because I live in New York. But, you know, some of them I don't see.
Yo, man, Resi... Yo, man, yeah. Resi Fujimi said your name.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, you know, me and Red, you were cool, believe it or not. You know, no hat. I'd be a little bit more formal, you know, so I went, you know, caco pelao, you know. But yeah, you know, but I did dress a little less formal than I did last year. Last year, I had the fucking tie, slacks, fancy shoes. But this year, it said business casual. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to dress like I normally do at work, you know? So that's exactly what I did. And it's funny because, you know, since I had to be there at 6:45, like for an hour, I stayed at the office an extra hour. So every time I took a bathroom break, I'd, you know, rehearse my line and shit. But at the end of it, I just read it off my phone. I was like, everybody's reading this shit off the phone anyway, you know?
Yeah, even Reggie was.
Yeah, exactly. So that was good. And, you know, it was, you know, yo, for anybody that heard that stream, I know you motherfuckers heard Hip Hop Gamer. Yeah, every time, yo, it's crazy. Every like, he was the loudest motherfucker in there, you know.
Oh yeah,
it was hilarious.
When you went on
the stream, you heard him, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can hear it when you went on. You can hear Hip Hop be like, "That's my dude. That's my dude," or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, that's what he was saying. He was going crazy, but yeah, good times. Yeah, because for you guys who don't know. Because I don't really talk about it too much, but I am a member of the New York City Video Game Critics Circle. And, you know, we host this show every year, the Game Awards. And I like this Game Awards better than the Jeff Keighley shit because we're not bombarding you with motherfucking ads all the time. And keeping it real, right? Shout out to Harold. You know, he's the guy that runs everything. Right off the top, he mentioned all the gaming layoffs that happened last year, unlike Jeff Keighley, you know? Who wasn't in attendance this year? No, because he was busy with some Apple shit. Because Apple had the Vision Pro, they flew a bunch of people places and stuff.
Oh yeah,
but he was there last year. You know, Jeff Keighley was there last year. Bunch of people, and I also like how the show just feels very New York. Like even every award we named it after something. Like we like the one I did was the Freedom Tower Award. You know, so yeah, good stuff. How was the state security? Nobody rushed. We were good, you know.
You know not big enough for people to go smashing the stage.
I do have a highlight from the show though, behind the scenes shit, right? Two things. My homie Gene Park, he was sitting right next to me, so we were just having fun the whole night, you know. Gene's that dude. But the other fun thing is there was this guy sitting in front of me. I was talking the whole night. Cool dude. I could tell he was like European. I didn't know what kind of European, right? He was very curious about like the order of the show. And I told him like the vague order, right? So, you know, I'm like, hey, this dude's cool. He's talking. And then like towards the end of the show, Cyberpunk wins an award for whatever Cyberpunk won. And this motherfucker gets up, CD Projekt Red dude, you know? So I'm like, hold up, I gotta talk to this motherfucker now, man. Like, oh. I gotta gush. I didn't know who the fuck he was. He was just some dude, you know. So after the, you know, we were after after party, I had a gush. I'm like, fucking Cyberpunk is the shit. I was like, I said it just like this. I liked the game when it was a broken piece of shit. I told just like that. I said it, you know. And he thought it was funny, you know. So we linked up. Good stuff. You know what it reminded me of, Manny? It was that one time. Okay, so I'm going to tell from my perspective. I'm at Comic-Con with Manny, right, walking around, and then somebody that Manny knows comes up to us. We start talking. You know, cool dude, you know, and I'm having fun with him and stuff. Then Manny's like, oh, yeah, you finally got to meet David Mazzucchelli. David Mazzucchelli drew Batman Year One. If I had known that was David Mazzucchelli, my reaction to him would have been completely different. You know, just like with this dude, if I would have known he was a Cyberpunk guy from the jump, my reaction to him would have been very different. So it was good to know him as a human first, you know.
Yeah, there's a saying that I somewhat live by. It's like the minute that you know somebody's work, the conversation becomes all about that person's work. But if you know a person on that other level, it's you have a relationship that's a lot more than just the things that you do.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, the award went off really, really well. Good vibes. Our homie, Mr. Michael Santiago. This dude is so cool, man, because he wasn't just there as the audience guy. He was there actually as security, among other things, you know, and he volunteered. He was like, he just wanted to be part of it. And we actually consider him an unofficial member of the critics circle because he helps out a lot with all the events we do. So shout out to Michael, man. Like once he got ingrained in the gaming culture, he got in it. So he's always had New York events and shit. You know, very inspirational, man. Shout out to you, Michael. You know, and the Iron Lords podcast crew were there, you know, chopping up with Lord Cognito. Yo, oh, the whole crew presented an award, man. Me and Gene were going, we're like, the whole crew. That was fun. Filled up, man.
The whole stage.
Yeah, it was all four of them, you know. Lord Cognito, you know, because they all live like in and around the city and stuff. So I always see them at random events and stuff. And yeah, it was good times. Shout out to Sarah Clemens. She was like my co-host presenter. Like, and already next year, we're already like, yo, we should be teamed up again. We should do a skit. Because some people did skits like, well, maybe we should have done a skit, you know? Yeah, good times, man. So shout out to everybody that gave me love. You know, like, yo, when I went up on stage, my motherfuckers went crazy. It's like, oh, shit.
People were losing their mind, man.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
Man, there's a slight reason why Tony's lifting up that microphone. He was a superstar for that moment. Yeah,
I was like, oh, shit. I wasn't expecting. Because, you know, people went up, you know, polite clapping and shit. I go up there, motherfuckers go nuts, you know? So it's good stuff, man. So shout out to the New York, you know, New York City.
I know why.
Why?
I know why. I'll say it after the show.
Because a hip hop gamer. You know.
Oh no, not specifically, but
yeah. Oh, is it like that? Behind this, you can't say it on air.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So we don't want to get canceled. So you know.
I was also say that's also at my former school. Well, me and Chris's former school. SVA School of Visual Arts.
Yeah.
On was that 23rd Street, right?
Yeah, this was the SVA Theater. Yeah.
That's the SVA Theater. Yeah. That used to actually be a really nice theater. Like, oh well, not it is a nice theater, it's but still it was a nice actual theater. Yeah. It was an actual theater.
Yeah.
And then SVA bought it.
Yeah. I saw the Stan Lee documentary there last year too, you know, like an actual movie and shit.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. they have that sort of space there. I don't remember how many theaters it has, and I think it's just one.
Yeah, I'll tell you another fun side story, right? So when I got there, the last time I ate was like 4 o'clock, right? No food at all. You know, too busy running around doing work and shit. So afterwards, my homegirl Cherie Smith, she whipped out the tequila. Oh, fuck. And I'm drinking on an empty stomach, bro, you know? And as you guys have noted, the show started late. So it was like 11:30. Like, yo, they're going to kick us out at 12, bro. Like 11:45, she brings out the tequila. Like, Cherie, what are we doing here? You know? I only had like one shot. Then I had like a glass of wine. Then we had to leave. Man, I'm drunk as shit. You know? So drunk that the next day, I'm like, I think I'm going to work from home in the morning. You know? Like, I try not to go to, like, you know, sleep when I'm like drunk. But I'm like, I got to go to sleep. I still got to work tomorrow, you know? But nothing bad happened. It was all good, you know. I think I had a sandwich or something. Like I came like, you know. But yeah, good stuff. So yeah, shout out to that, man. And shout out to everybody who gave me love, man. That was good stuff. And the last shout out I want to give is I want to give a shout out to Huggable Hipster. So I was on her podcast, the Casual Nerd podcast with Paris and Danny, you know. That was a good, it was a 2-hour show too. You know, we were just talking about, and we recorded this last Friday, so we didn't talk about all the current shit, obviously. But it was good times. Ariel Dannon, that's her real name. Shout out to her too, because she is now freelancing for Windows Central, which technically makes her a coworker of mine, since it's all under the same, you know, parent company, Future, you know. So shout out to her, shout out to Paris, shout out to Danny, you know. And yeah, good stuff, man. So that's
good
all
stuff.
Yeah, so that's all for me, man. Do you have anything to plug around him?
I am Negan, still on hiatus along with its main host. So nothing much. Shout out to Brett. Happy birthday.
Yeah, shout out to Brett, man. You already know. Also, I do have something to plug. Invincible, baby. returning March 14th, which means we'll reinitiate the Invincible podcast, man. It's going to be fun, you know? Especially, yeah. You all know I don't watch TV nowadays. It's all a bunch of trash, but Invincible's fucking dope, you know? Can't wait for that.
You should watch Jujutsu Kaisen, man. That shit is crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's anime. It's going to be good. That's unfair. I'm talking about, okay, Western TV, I should say, you know? They don't have that bullshit over there in Japan, but I'm not going to get into it, you know?
Japan.
As long as you're not telling me to watch that fucking elf show that everybody's talking about, you know?
Oh, the yeah, elf
show? You know, yeah, that cute elf girl show. Say that again.
Free Ren.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Free Ren. Yes, as long as you don't ask me to watch that, we're okay, you know?
I thought you were talking about the, what was it? The dungeon, the Delicious Dungeon show?
Yeah, Delicious Dungeon.
No, not that. I'm aware of that show too, but no, not that.
Apparently that one that you hate, Tony, is meant to have a good story, in how it sets things up, because it's from the viewpoint of the elf, and the elf like lives for hundreds of years, and you can probably guess what happens.
Yeah. I don't have anything against it. I just looked, just from the clips I've seen, it just seems like a bunch of weird people are into that show. So,
well, I'll tell you this much, at the current moment, it's the number one ranked anime.
I know. I'm very aware of that. It's like, all right, guys. Hey, listen, if you're enjoying it, good for you, you know. I hope they are taking advantage of the fact that this woman's very, very old, just because that could be good potential for stories, you know. I like Invincible.
We know how that Titanic was. That old lady told all the stories.
I like Invincible, but how are you going to split an 8-episode season in half? Blame that on the writer's strike, you know? They didn't do that shit last time. They showed you all 8 episodes.
Yeah, usually the way production is done, it's like they're most of the way, they're like at least halfway or more done, and then they have the other half. So that just meant that the other half of the show, they couldn't do any sort of additional writing or change any of the scripts and stuff like that. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah. All right, man, we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter and join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's 2 words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And, of course, we are back on YouTube, baby. So make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live every Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. You no longer have to wait for the episodes. They come at you live, baby. You already know. And, yeah, for everything, links down there in the comments, right there where the people are hating. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
Yeah, boy!
Yes, my
See
dude!
You next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys, you already know. Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Later. Mm-hmm.